The scripture today is Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters, with today's message entitled, My Thoughts Are Higher Than Your Thoughts, let us explore ways on how we can grasp God's thoughts and will, follow His will, and receive blessings from Him. Once again, let me read today's passage, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Brothers and sisters, out in the world are many people who've equipped themselves with a significant amount of knowledge in their respective fields, but merely piling up experiences in life and accumulating knowledge in various fields doesn't ensure that they can be prosperous and successful in every affair of their lives. If they cannot make use of their knowledge in a timely manner, or if they are not a vessel worthy to be used, the knowledge they have stays only in their head and ends up being useless. Throughout the Bible or the world history are many instances which demonstrate that one's riches, fame, and authority doesn't make all things possible. Let me share just a few of them. First, let's take a look at Ahithophel, who was a counselor to King David. Ahithophel was such an outstanding counselor and strategist as described in 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. The advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one acquired of the word of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel regarded by both David and Absalom. So, having such extraordinary knowledge and surpassing wisdom, did he always prosper? From the Bible, we can verify it wasn't so. When David's third son, Absalom, rebelled against King David, appointed by God, Ahithophel joined Absalom for rebellion. Namely, he sided with Absalom. The news came as a complete shock to David. While King David was fleeing from Jerusalem, he was specifically notified of Ahithophel's being among the people of Absalom. This indicates that what a significant and important man he was to David. Upon hearing this, David prayed that God made the counsel of Ahithophel foolishness. When David was coming to the summit of the Mount of Olives, his friend Hushai was grieved for him. Then David asked Hushai to go back to Jerusalem, falsely vow fidelity to Absalom, destroy Ahithophel's counsel, and secretly notify him of their situation. Knowing that Hushai also had exceeding wisdom, King David made a special request to him. Even though King David was running away from Absalom, because God was on David's side, things eventually turned out as David desired. Both Ahithophel and Hushai presented Absalom with a strategy to win the battle. Although Ahithophel presented a brilliant scheme that could have brought Absalom victory, as God decided to thwart his counsel, it wasn't chosen. We find in 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse 14, Then Absalom and all the men of Israel said, The counsel of Hushai, the archite, is better than the counsel of Ahithophel, for the Lord had ordained to thwart the good counsel of Ahithophel, so that the Lord might bring calamity on Absalom. No matter how excellent one's counsel or wisdom is, once God decides to thwart it, it can't be fulfilled. Eventually, the victory belongs to the one whom God is with. Seeing his counsel not followed, Ahithophel immediately made his way back home and strangled himself. Seeing his strategy not accepted, he sensed that God was not on Absalom's side. Because he predicted that Absalom would be defeated in the battle, he figured that it'd be better for him to commit suicide than to face a miserable death by the hands of David later on. Despite the fact Ahithophel had superb wisdom by which he could even predict the future events, he didn't end up prosperous. Brothers and sisters, from this example, we should realize how stupid it is to betray someone and how much God detests it. It would have been right for Ahithophel to stay faithful to David to the end, but he didn't do so. As a result, even as a competent man, he couldn't make use of his ability but ended up in destruction. Zhuge Liang from the Romance of the Three Kingdoms had exceeding wisdom and strategies with a brilliant ability to predict the future. Yet, he failed to achieve his vision of unifying the three kingdoms but died of a disease. The nation established by wisdom also collapsed in the end. Even though a person has power, subdue other nations by force, and bring them under his rule, that's not everything. History proves that people who arose by power collapsed by power. We can verify this by looking through the world history. Napoleon, the French hero, is one of the examples. He was a man of surpassing wisdom and strategies and had knowledge in a wide range of areas, politics, economics, etc., thereby winning many people's credit and respect. At the pinnacle of his power, he took over most of Europe as a great emperor. Despite all this, he spent the last days of his life lonely, being detained in a prison located on a secluded island, and ended his life at only age 52. From these examples, we should keep in mind that our knowledge, abundant experience, and power doesn't ensure that we can make all things possible as we desire. Knowledge is nothing more than a tool that helps us realize and discern things. Also, there is a limit to how much power we can have. The same goes for experiences. Only if a person makes use of all these factors in a properly manner and meets the most appropriate time, can he achieve something great. If we take a look at the lives of our fathers of faith, such as Abraham, Moses, and Peter, some of them had a high level of knowledge and power, while others had an occupation considered lowly at their times. As for Moses, he acquired all kinds of knowledge in the palace of Egypt, which was one of the strongest powers in his time. No wonder he had excellent knowledge, right? But God subjected Moses to a 40-year-long trial in the wilderness. Because delivering the Israelites into Canaan couldn't be possible by one's power, wisdom, and authority, God had to refine him into a vessel worthy of his use. Only after that, Moses could be used greatly. If that was the case with Moses, how much more should you humble yourself before God? How much should you be humble? Brothers and sisters, there are many people out there who consider themselves having much knowledge or wisdom. But as you examine your current situation, if you find yourself with unresolved problems despite your wisdom and knowledge, you have to ponder why. If all things could be done by man's knowledge, the more knowledge we have, the more things should turn out as we desire. but it's not so in reality, then what should we do to achieve our dreams? The answer is to discover ourselves. Yet it is not easy to discover ourselves or be instructed on ways to do so. We can only discern whether something was right or a mistake by going through experiences or trials. But thankfully, there's nothing which can't be resolved by the Word of God. By the Word of God, who is light, we can discern anything. All things are revealed by it. Then, how can we discover ourselves by the Word of God and be blessed in all our ways? First, you should know what kind of vessel you are. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23, verse 11, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant." And in Mark chapter 18, verse 4, "Those who humble themselves are the greatest." He advises us to become spiritual children and not be arrogant. Our senior pastor, whether when he was a Sunday school teacher or when he's become a senior pastor of a huge church, has never become haughty or put on airs. Instead, he's always served others and lowered and humbled himself. Whether towards a significant person or a little one, he didn't disregard them, but treated them respectfully. He didn't do so as a formality, but sincerely from his heart. It was his life itself, the life of serving and lowering himself. In many parts of the Bible, we learn if cast off something, we get something else. For example, if you cast off arrogance according to the Word of God, you naturally become humble and serve others. As a result, you can be loved by God and the people around you. So I want you to examine yourself in light of this. If you find yourself complaining even while you don't serve others, how could you be said to be a big vessel? If you don't put the blame on yourself, but complain against others or about your surroundings, you can't discover your shortcomings. If you stay arrogant, not humbling yourself, you can't embrace others. Because you don't cast off your self, you can't get anything. In light of these things, you should discover areas where you fall short. Thus, how could you get things achieved as you resolved and dreamed? But people of big vessels can accomplish something big because they serve others, lower themselves, and cast off their self. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, "Now in a large house there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, used to the master, prepared for every good work." There are gold or silver vessels cherished by the owner. They are used only for important guests or on special occasions. Some vessels are for honor, while others for dishonor. The same goes for us before God. Whoever cleanses himself can be a vessel used for honor. It'd be best if you could be gold vessel deemed precious by God. Then, what kind of a person is a gold vessel deemed precious by God? First, gold vessels don't change. Gold is a material that doesn't have a chemical reaction with other materials. So no matter how much time passes, it maintains its original luster without changing. For this reason, God likens those who never change to gold vessels. Their heart for God never wavers in any trials or tribulations, just like that of the Apostle Paul, who preached the gospel in many countries, even under poor environments or conditions. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 27 read, "Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so, in far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers all among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure." Yet, Paul boldly affirmed from Romans chapter 8, verse 37 onward, "But in all things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Such a vessel is truly the one that never changes. But if you harbor ill feelings or over trivial matters, speak ill of others, and grumble or complain, this demonstrates you are still far from being a gold vessel. Secondly, gold vessels are precious vessels. Let's say you have gold, silver, bronze, and earthen vessels. If a thief is about to break into your house and steal your vessels, what vessels would you hide first? Anyone would hide their gold vessels first because they are the most valuable ones. Likewise, the most precious ones before God are the people of gold vessels. The people deemed precious by God were the ones who fully carried out their God-given duties. Those who can completely fulfill the duties assigned to them are the people of gold vessels. These people included John the Baptist, who prepared the way of the Lord, Mary Magdalene, and Virgin Mary. Those who try their utmost in carrying out their duties only with joy and thanksgiving are deemed precious vessels. Third, gold vessels are beautiful vessels. If something is clad in gold, it looks beautiful because of its luster. For this reason, people plate vessels with gold. Then, what would God consider beautiful? Because God is love and goodness, He deems good-hearted people without evil as beautiful. Good people who detest evil have a heart that is soft and gentle like cotton, thereby providing comfort and rest for many people. Being good-hearted, they create no occasion to conflict with others. They don't quarrel or contend in any manners, but can embrace anything in the truth. They can even sacrifice their own lives for others. That's why God considers them beautiful. People who fall under this category are Esther, who came before the king at the risk of her own life, Abraham, who showed unwavering love and obedience for God throughout his life, and Job, who was refined by trials. Fourth, gold vessels are precious vessels. Gold vessels are rare and not easy to be made. Vessels of this kind have their own dignity and quality. One of those who were deemed precious by God was Joseph, who was blessed by walking down the right path in faith. Even when he faced an unfair situation where he was sold into slavery, he only walked the right path. Consequently, he had great honor of becoming the prime minister of Egypt. By inviting his entire family to live in Egypt, he could save them from famine and lay the foundation for Israel, comprised of Jacob's 12 sons. Then, why does God call them precious? What they have in common is that they have such truthfulness, purity, innocence, faithfulness, honesty, fidelity, a righteous heart, and upright faith, which are hard to be found in ordinary men. And they display corresponding dignity and quality. Because such qualities are not easily found in anyone, God indeed considers them as precious and allows them to have corresponding honor and credit, even on this earth. And in order to discover yourself with the Word of God and be blessed in all your ways, second, you should examine whether you have wisdom. As said in James chapter 1, verse 5, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." I hope you rely on this promise and become wise people by asking Him. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1 reminds us that a wise son makes a father glad. First, a father signifies Father God. Although we can't achieve perfection by man's thoughts, if we obey God who knows all things, God is delighted and makes everything perfect. Here, father could also mean your physical father or your boss. So if we see how much a person pleases boss, we can see how wise he is. Wherever you are, if you cannot grasp the orders of your organization and sincerely respect your boss, thus failing to please your boss, this itself indicates you lack wisdom. Of course, especially in the church, there are orders established by God. So, I think some people may belong to this category. Of course, it is not to say that you should please your boss unconditionally, even when he walks the way of untruth out of his spiritual arrogance or ignorance. In this case, you should exhort him not to do so, praying and fasting for him with tears. Only then can you be called a person who pleases your boss. If you follow him onto the way of untruth, you are walking down the path to death with him. But if your boss dwells in the truth, without such concerns, you can just please him and be commanded by him, thereby being a wise person. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1 reminds us, "A wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." Namely, a wise person accepts discipline, whether it's from God or parents or his boss. Also, as said in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." People who dislike listening to counsel or advice are not wise ones. Those who joyfully accept discipline are wise people in God's sight. The Word of God serves like a mirror to look at yourself. Psalm chapter 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Discipline refers to lessons or instructions provided by a person who has gone through and experienced more. It serves as the light and a guide for another person who lacks experience and needs to learn more. Let me rephrase. Discipline refers to lessons or instructions provided by a person who has gone through and experienced more. It serves as the light and a guide for another person who lacks experience and needs to learn more. So, discipline can prevent the other person from making a mistake and providing grounds for the enemy devil to accuse him. Also, teaching or advising people who've already gone astray or those who are likely to do so fall under the category of discipline. Thus, how wise it is to accept discipline. If you carefully engrave good teachings of adults or people who've experienced more and immediately correct your wrongs accordingly, no matter what kind of discipline, what that was, it can be an invaluable lesson which can edify yourself. Those who like to accept discipline are joyful and thankful whoever points out their mistakes or faults with the word of truth, and they joyfully obey with a thankful heart. Since the foundation of this church until 2000s, whenever we had a church staff meeting, senior pastor declared, "If you find any of my words or deeds contrary to the word of God, please point that out. I'd be so thankful and repent before all of you on this altar. I will also give him a prize, whoever points out my mistakes or anything contrary to the word of God." Do you remember this? Do you remember him saying this? Please raise your hand if you remember him saying this. Most of them, I see most of them in the front rows raising their hands. Even students are raising their hands. Does any of you have received a reward from him for pointing out something? Brothers and sisters, even mommy kindergartners advise their grandparents or parents saying, "Senior pastor told us not to get angry. He told us not to tell lies." We sometimes hear them saying like this. But our senior pastor, before believing in God, suffered from all kinds of diseases to the point where his body became a complete wreck. Living in a poor village located on a mountain, he didn't have an electric fan on scorching hot days, nor was there any heating system on cold winter days. Even though, despite the fact that he was struggling with diseases and had little chance of surviving, he tried to hide his distress and anguish, not to cause any burden to his family or people around him. He's a person who wouldn't even ask his children for a cup of water. He never got untidy in his posture. He was rather felt sorry, apologetic to his parents, to his children, for the fact that he couldn't carry out his duty as a husband or as a parent. He shed tears because of that. He always makes sure to put things back in its place and does everything in an orderly manner. He's never spent anything from the church's treasury. Whenever he received an honorarium from the church, he gave it back to God right away. He only spends money donated by people all around the world who've been healed and blessed by him. Also, he offers much of that money to the church, being of tremendous support to the church's finance. Before lying down in bed, he made sure to comb his hair and tidy up himself. Back in 1980s and 1990s, I was serving him close by. And senior pastor would ask for a mirror so that he could put it right beside his bed. So he was always recognizing Father God, who is watching him with his blazing eyes. The reason he does so is whether he eats or drinks or whatever he does, he wants to do everything to the glory of God. Regarding this, let me share with you what Father God told me at the 2014 Church Leaders Conference. He said, "Indeed, you've lived a life where you look to the shepherd alone. You are thankful that the Father helped you realize, even if you only look to the shepherd, unless you become sanctified, it's no use. And you are thankful that the Father provided you with the grace to press on diligently. You are very thankful, grateful that you have only the shepherd in you. Now that the shepherd is everything in you, you should also let what the shepherd has be everything in you. The only thing the shepherd has is the Father's glory and the love for the souls. So I also want you to have the Father's glory and the love for the souls only. I hope you understand this well. Dear brothers and sisters, at the 2017 Namib Summer Retreat, I'm sure you've realized who truly our shepherd is. Now, let's enjoy accepting advice even from little ones, even from little children. Now, it's truly time to awaken. If you feel uncomfortable when others point out your wrongs and give advice, it indicates you are not a person who can accept discipline. This is not the heart of truth. If you can humbly accept even what is offensive to your ears and take in what is necessary and throw away what is not, you are truly a wise man. Wise people are willing to learn. If you find yourself lacking wisdom and ignorant, you should learn from people wiser than you. As written in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, God wants us to learn even from ants. If you insist on what you think is right and feel afflicted because of your pride being hurt, it's evil and brings forth no benefit. But if you learn from those who are complimented and have borne fruit, that is goodness and beneficial both physically and spiritually. Also, wise people abide by the law of Father God. They pray as God tells us to pray, do what God tells us to do, and forgive as God tells us to forgive. Those who keep the word of God and never walk away from Him, walk away from His law, are wise people. Each nation has its laws, and there are regulations and code of ethics in every community or organization. Those who comply with them can live in comfort and peace. Likewise, those who keep the law of God live in peace within God's protection and enjoy blessings from Him. So, this is the way of the wise people. Third, we should have understanding. So, in order to fulfill our dreams, after we discover ourselves, we need to have understanding. How could we become a man of understanding as the children of the Almighty God? We should correct wrongs discovered in ourselves and improve ourselves. With understanding, whatever goal we have, we can clearly see the ways to achieve it. Let me rephrase. With understanding, whatever goal we have, we can clearly see the ways to achieve it. The lives of people of spirit and whole spirit exemplify the way of understanding, so we can just follow them. As they confess how they were blessed after they loved, forgave, and prayed for someone, or how they were blessed after they sought before God and became united with others, we can just follow their deeds and walk their path. But if you reject and ignore their ways and stay obstinate, you can't discover yourselves. Just having power, authority, and knowledge doesn't ensure we can fulfill our dreams. We need to discover ourselves. Once we discover our shortcomings, we should improve ourselves. In order to improve and better ourselves, we should always keep things in mind, carefully admit our shortcomings, and fight against sins to the point of shedding blood. By doing so, we should be the ones who achieve our goals. Dear brothers and sisters, let me conclude the message. Whatever thoughts we may have, we are free to do so. But if we are stuck in our own thoughts, we can't escape from our limit set forth by ourselves. According to how big of a vessel you are, some can achieve their goals while others not. So if you have anything not accomplished according to your desire, you should admit that it's because you are a small vessel. Today's passage reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are than your thoughts." God's thoughts and ways are high. God's thoughts and ways are high and wide, and their depths are unfathomable. It's no wonder that God's creative thoughts are different from those of man, His mere creatures. First, I told you that you should know what kind of vessel you are. Among vessels, there are gold vessels whose heart for God never wavers in any kind of trials and tribulations, just like that of the Apostle Paul. Second, I told you that people of gold vessel fully carry out their duties only with joy and thanksgiving. They include John the Baptist, who prepared the way of the Lord, Mary Magdalene, who is the woman of greatest goodness among all women who've been ever born since the creation, and the Virgin Mary. Third, people of gold vessel detest evil, never quarrel in any manners, but they can embrace anything in the truth and sacrifice even their lives for others. People who fall under this category are Esther, who risked her own life for the sake of her people, Abraham, who showed unwavering love and obedience towards God, and Job, who was refined by undergoing trials. Fourth, gold vessels are vessels that can't be made easily, and they hold their own dignity and quality. As an example, I talked about Joseph, who was sold into slavery by the hands of his brothers. But by walking the right path, he had great honor and becoming the prime minister of Egypt later on. He invited his whole family to live in Egypt and save them from famine, and laid a foundation of Israel, consisting of Jacob's 12 sons. And in order to discover yourselves with the Word of God and be blessed in all your ways, second, you should examine yourselves whether you have wisdom. The Bible says, "A wise son makes a father glad." I explained that father first signifies Father God, and it could also mean your physical father or your boss. I reminded you that by seeing how much a person pleases his boss, we can see how wise he is. But it wasn't to say that you should please your boss or your physical father even when he dwells in the untruth. In that case, you should pray and fast for him with tears and advise him not to do so. Only then can you be a person who truly pleases your boss. But if your boss dwells in the truth without such concerns, you can just please him and be commended by him, thereby becoming a wise person. Also, I told you that people who like to accept discipline with thankfulness and joyfully obey are wise ones. Third, I told you that we should have understanding. With understanding, whatever goal you have, you can clearly see the ways to achieve it. Because the lives of people of spirit and Holy Spirit exemplify the way of understanding, we can just follow them. But if you reject and ignore such ways and stay obstinate, you can't discover yourselves. Despite having no blemish or spot, our shepherd asked the entire congregations to point out any word or deeds that went contrary to the truth. Having been taught by the shepherd who exemplifies the highest level of service and humility, if we only cultivate ourselves according to the word of God, taught by our shepherd, we can surely come forth as more beautiful and greater ones by the shepherd's 99% of the justice. We can make it more quickly. To the extent we resemble our Lord, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we can be called a great one and be loved by others. I pray in our Lord's name that you can realize what kind of vessel you are, receive wisdom and understanding, be abundantly blessed by Father, who delights in always giving us good things, and thus give glory to Him without reservation. Let's reflect on today's message and pray together. It's time to receive the prayer for the sick. If you have any sick parts, please lay your hands on your sick parts. If you don't have any sick parts, please lay your hands on your chest and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Almighty God, our loving Father. Please lay your hands on all believers who are receiving this prayer now. Show your works that transcend time and space on those who are receiving this prayer through GCN, Internet, and Satellite TV, in branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all other children of God around the world. Give them the faith to believe from the heart, drive away negative thoughts and doubts, and drive away all tests and trials. From head to toe, all entrails, joints, nerves, and tissues and cells, whatever the sick part may be, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and the original light. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities go away. Light come. Please scourge all their terminal and incurable diseases with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all newly discovered diseases, including swine flu. Go away, be cleansed. All contagious diseases, including cold, flu, and fever, go away. Protect them from all kinds of germs and viruses. Heal them of all stomach, lung, liver, breast, urine, and intestinal cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressure, diabetes, thyroid problems, and heart, lung, and women's diseases, and all inflammations go away. Heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs, back pain, headache, and neuralgia, and all other pains disappear. Epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and other mental diseases go away. All kinds of paralysis be loosened, get up, walk, and leap. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well, let the blind come to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Fix their broken bones. Restore them from burns. Let the heat and burning sensations go away. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions, poisoning, and substance abuse. Let the dead nerves, tissues, and cells be regenerated. Bring the dead back to life. Give them the blessing of conception. Receive the blessing of conception. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the power of the air, the evil forces of the heavenly places, and their servants, go away. Go away, evil, unclean, false, and deceitful spirits, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen the bonds of wickedness. Darkness, go away. Light, come. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. As their souls prosper, let all things go well with them and let their families be evangelized. Protect them all from all kinds of accidents and disasters throughout this week and bless them to lead a prosperous life without any problems. With the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and business fields. Give students wisdom and understanding, and give them enthusiasm and fervor to study hard. Please keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and let them love God more fervently. Whether your children eat or drink or in whatever they do, let them do it all to live a life glorifying Father God. Let them be able to testify about the living God, saying, I've met an experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, Amen.